This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
We broadcast from the lands of the Wurundjeri people of the Kulin Nation. We pay our respects to elders past, present, and emerging, and to any Aboriginal or Torres Strait Islander people who are listening today. We acknowledge that this land was never ceded, no treaty was ever signed, and that it always was, and always will be, Aboriginal land.
You need surgery.
Bisexuality.
Bisexual.
I'm bisexual.
Bisexual.
Triple bypass.
Bisexual.
Bisexual.
Bisexuality.
I'm bisexual.
Bisexuality.
The best of both worlds.
Triple bypass.
Triple bypass.
Triple bypass on Joy 94.9.
Hello and welcome to Triple Bypass. It's our weekly sexual health and well-being episode takeover, Sex by the By. I said weekly, I meant monthly. So Sex by the By takes sex, sexual health and wellness and relationships and puts it under a big Bi Plus lens, and then we dunk it in glitter and we sprinkle it with sugar. And, you know, that's how we deliver it to you on a silver platter because we love you. I am your host, Nat, and tonight I'm joined by Ruby. And we're talking about something really exciting tonight. We're going to be taking a reflective look at the topic, the queer sex and relationships education I wish I'd had. And we've got writer, editor and researcher Roz Bellamy in the studio with us, which we're very excited about. This is a big topic, something we reflect on quite a bit, and I know that a lot of you do as well. So we're really keen to get you to listen in and send in your questions, and we'll do our very best to answer them. So stick with us on Triple Bypass on Joy 94.9, and we'll be back after this song, which is Black Tie by Grace Petrie.
Well, it's a jungle out there. The year 2018, I didn't think we'd still be sorting babies into blue and pink. And all our progress, well, I wonder what it means that the only girls' clothes that work for me turn out to be boyfriend jeans. Well, that's fine, 'cause I decline a narrow set of rules that just don't work, 'cause these red lines, well, they're not mine. And if you need me, you can find me ironing my shirt, 'cause I'm in black tie tonight. Get a postcard to mine. Year 11 self in a year 11 hell, saying everything's gonna be alright. No, you won't grow out of it. You will find clothes that fit. And the images that fucked you were a patriarchal structure, and you never will surrender to a narrow view of gender. And I swear there'll come a day when you won't worry what they say on the labels, on the doors. You will figure out what's yours. And it's a bloody nightmare trying to fight the spread of bigotry and fear that's uniting Piers Morgan and Jermaine Greer. And all our progress, yeah, I wonder who it's for when I dare to utter that trans lives matter. And all I got was a turf war. Well, that's fine, 'cause I decline your narrow set of rules. They just don't work. These red lines, but they're not mine. And if you need me, you can find me ironing my shirt, 'cause I'm in black tie tonight. Get a postcard to mine. Year 11 self in a year 11 hell, saying everything's gonna be alright. No, you won't grow out of it. You will find me clothes that fit. And the images that fucked you were a patriarchal structure, and you never will surrender to a narrow view of gender. And I swear there'll come a day when you won't worry what they say on the labels, on the doors. You will figure out what's yours. it's got nothing to do with fitting neatly in a box that was constructed to make it seem like people come in just two teams, and anything that's in between ain't good enough. And you will love, and you'll be loved, and you're in black tie tonight. Get a postcard to my year 11 self in a year 11 hell. Darling, everything's gonna be alright. No, you won't grow out of it. You will find clothes that fit, and the images that fucked you were a patriarchal structure. No, you never will surrender to that narrow view of gender. And there's folks you've yet to meet, but you're exactly up their street, and they've been waiting just as long to hear someone sing this song. And better days are on their way, when it won't matter what they say on the labels, on the doors. You will figure out what's yours. And girl, you're gonna be so happy. And girl, you're gonna be just fine. And girl, you're gonna be so happy. Down the line, down the line.
Totally bent for your listening pleasure. Joy 94.9.
That was Black Tie by Grace Petrie, and you are listening to Triple Bypass's monthly sexual health and wellbeing segment, Sex by the By. I'm your host, Nat, and I'm joined by Ruby.
Hi, everybody. I'm Ruby.
And that was a really fitting song, actually, because...
The feelings.
Many feelings.
I don't iron my shirts because I am lazy, but I still appreciate the sentiment so much.
There's a lot of feelings there with that. Thanks to the team at Bad Gaze for another great show. And then looking ahead tonight at the episode, we're talking about the queer sex and relationships education we wish we'd had.
Oof.
I know, there's a lot. We probably won't have time for everything, as always in this segment. But please get in touch with your thoughts on this. And if you might want to tell us the advice that you'd give to yourself at a younger age, or any young bi-plus folk who may be newly out or starting to think about it, we do really want to hear from you and any advice you may have. And you can email us on air at joy.org.au or text 0427 569 949. And you can find us on our socials, which is Facebook, Triple Bypass on Joy, Twitter, Triple Bypass, Instagram, Triple Bypass Joy. And of course, you can email us anytime at triplebypass@joy.org.au.
Please follow us on Instagram because Amelia wants more followers. She craves it. And she's really good at this.
She is really good at Instagram.
I've known that Instagram for a year and it was sad. I can acknowledge.
It wasn't sad.
It was pretty sad.
It was quality, not quantity. And it was very, it was good. It was,
I posted once every 3 months, so it was real quality.
Amelia's really good on the stories and like
exactly.
All of the gifts and everything.
So don't miss out on that because there's some pretty choice content. And we know that bi plus culture a lot of times is just loving good memes.
Yeah, completely. Come
and
to us.
Also, I can just say, so I never had heard about the bi thing in lemon bars. Had you heard the lemon bars? Because I know that lemon had been a code for lesbian. For me, lemon and lime were different codes you use for fan fiction to indicate the rating of it, because you couldn't mention mature content without being taken off the interwebs.
I feel like I learn something new from you every day.
I just know if I know. So then I heard lemon bars with bi plus content. Then my friend made one for a bi event we had. And I'm not sure if it was just bi content. I feel like if by making it bi, we're withholding it because they're so good.
Yeah, I became aware of the lemon bar as bi plus culture like probably only this year.
Yeah.
And I'm very much here for it because it's lemon slice essentially, isn't it? Is that
what we call it? It's like having like a lemon tart but a slice form.
Yeah.
So with more pastry to curd ratio.
Yeah.
And more butter, which I feel is a good anagram for like just a good analogy for bisexuals in terms. It's like the normal thing but just add the good things and add them.
I just like that we have like a flag bearing snack. back, which is really important.
Yeah, it's a little labor intensive. That also works.
Yeah, exactly. It's a lot of overthinking the recipe, anxiety that you haven't got it right. Of course, you can also, if you're really loving this lemon bar content, you
Who doesn't?
You can get it in your ear holes whenever, because every episode of Triple Bypass is available in podcast form on iTunes, Spotify, and where all good podcasts are found. So,
and if you think about it, if you then have a lemon bar, we'll listen to this podcast, it's your ear holes covered and your mouth hole. So then all you need to really find is the ultimate Bi Plus scent, which is a Bi candle that you can only find in the States. It's a triple berry, and it is the Bi colors. And then you'll basically have it all germinating.
Basically, we'll get all your holes covered. That's what we're telling you.
Look, it's sex by the by. We're all about safe holes.
If you want a hole covered, we're going to tell you how to do it safely. With that in mind, get your questions ready for us. You've got them. We know you have them. And here we're going to go to a song. So here's Bad at Love by Halsey.
And it tastes like Jack when I'm kissing him. So I told him that I never really liked his friends. Now he's gone and he's calling me a bitch again. It's a guy that lives in a garden state. And he told me that we make it till we graduate. So I told him that the music will be worth the wait. But he wants me in the kitchen when it's dinner plate. I believe that we're meant to be. But jealousy, get the best of me. Look, I don't mean to frustrate, but I always make the same mistakes. Yeah, I always make the same mistakes, cause can't blame me for trying. You know I'd be lying, saying you're the one. Ooh, that could finally fix me. Looking at my history, I'm bad in love. Got a girl with California eyes, and I thought that she could really be the one this time. But I never got the chance to make her mind, because she fell in love with little thin white lines. London girl with an attitude, we never told no one, but we look so cute. Both got way better things to do, but I always think about it when I'm riding through. I believe that I'm in too deep. Jealousy, get the best in me. Look, I don't mean to frustrate, but I always make the same mistakes. Yeah, always make the same mistakes, cause I'm bad in love. Ooh, but you can't blame me for trying. You know I'd be lying, saying you're the one. Ooh, that could finally fix me. Looking at my history, I'm bad. It's time to feel and face. I know that you're afraid. I'm gonna walk away. It's time to feel and face. You know I'm bad at love, but you can't blame me for trying. You know I'd be lying, saying you're the one. Ooh, that could finally fix me. Looking at my history, I'm bad.
That was Bad at Love by Halsey, and you're back on Triple Bypass, the hub of all things multi-gender attracted, and you're listening to Sex by the By, which is our monthly sexual health and well-being takeover. I'm your host, Nat, and I'm joined by Ruby.
Hi, everybody.
Hey, Ruby. And we're joined by Roz Bellamy in the studio tonight.
Yes.
So Roz is a freelance writer, the deputy online editor at Archer magazine, and a PhD candidate at the Australian Research Centre in Sex, Health and Society. They are a contributor to the books Living and Loving in Diversity, Going Postal, More Than Yes or No, and growing up queer in Australia. And Roz has written for The Big Issue, The Guardian, Huffington Post, SBS and the Sydney Morning Herald, and just is an all-around awesome person who I'm very excited to have in the show. Welcome, Roz.
Thank you.
I've been following you on Twitter for 5 years.
I feel like you should all know that Ruby's staring intensely with that kind of little creepy voice. Thanks, Ruby.
I just see it. You're right. You need to know the stare goes with the goblin voice. The two do need to go together. And this is an auditory medium, and I should have thought of that before I started to stare at you. Look, Roz, for that, I am deeply sorry.
We were talking before the show, and Ruby was like, I'm so glad Roz is coming on so we can meet in person. And this is what I love about this show. It's just an amazing chance to get everyone talking about sex and sexual
health.
Chuck
them in a room so I can talk to them for an hour. This is what you're saying.
This segment,
lock the doors.
This segment is just a front for Ruby to meet people that they have been
friends.
Stalking.
This is how I make friends. Look, I have special interests that I focus on very intensely.
And we're talking about the queer sex and relationships education that we wish we'd got. And so, of course, you can contact us by emailing us on air at joy.org.au or texting 0427569949. And, Roz, you picked that Halsey song that we just listened to. Why did you pick that one?
The first time I heard that song, I was like, oh my God, imagine if this had existed when I was a little young queer with all those feelings. And I just kind of like listened dumbfounded to that kind of relationship list and just like, I love it. I don't know. It's every time.
Yeah.
The feels.
It is cool.
Halsey's pretty spectacular. She's been a pretty ad and proud bi plus person for a while. And I think, you know, it was a few months ago where she went into a concert wearing a t-shirt with the picture of the two women who'd been attacked on a bus in London, one of whom was bisexual, and, you know, was talking around that a lot. And I felt in that, again, that same relatable anger of being a bisexual person is also really kind of often seen as not being in the same danger or not really having the same investment in community, but also because of that often feeling so strongly about standing up for it and just her literally wearing her heart on her chest and saying, this is still happening, what are you all doing about it? And if you are a queer person, I love you so much. And recognizing in that and in that song, that difficulty we often have with love, with loving ourselves, with loving other people, with understanding what's a healthy way to love other people. So no, I think it was that sense of hearing a narrative that we've all kind of maybe lived in some way, but put to a pretty fucking catchy pop song.
Yeah, definitely.
And she's also a great advocate about mental health.
Yeah. She's really forward about that.
She's so great. Yeah.
Basically, she's brilliant. That's why we play her a lot. It's very useful for us.
It is. And I think that's like a good segue into this topic. And when I've been thinking about this topic for a while, and I thought, you know, that you would be a great person to come on, Roz, and chat about this because of the work that you're doing, but also the writing that you've done, because you reflect on this quite a bit in your writing. So I thought it'd be so great to have you come on. And I know when I sent you this message, you were like, ah, what a great topic. What sort of came to mind for you straight away, I guess, just generally? And I know that's something that you've written about a lot. And what is it about that you kind of go back to in the themes around your writing?
Great question. I guess when you mentioned my writing in relation to this, the first thing that came to my mind was the piece I wrote about having my first pap smear and having this awful religious doctor basically start like queer shaming me in the middle of it. And it's one of those things that like I still tell that story to people sometimes, just if people are having one of those what's your worst doctor story conversations that we all
see. It's a great cocktail party.
It is. It's a great one. And when I tell them that like people have this reaction to it. And I think for me, it was my first, I guess, foray into writing about sexual health and realizing that I guess a lot of traumatic or painful things that I'd experienced could be helpful for readers to understand aspects of their own identity and their own health and that sort of thing. So, that rather than being like some dirty or sad secret, that it could be a way of opening up like a conversation with people. I don't know if...
But I think that's really awesome because whenever I read pieces that talk about things like that as well, and, you know, because I love talking about sexual health, so when a queer person reflects on their experience in sexual health in that way, I find that there's always a really great ending to that. It's, well, what is the action that we can take from that? And I think that that's, you know, not that we should have to do labour in the doctor's offices, but I think that that's really great because it's like, well, actually, this is something that, you know, is out there. This is something that you may encounter. I've experienced this, and this is me sort of sharing that story with you, or, you know, you sharing that story, which I think is really important. And that's sort of the work that you're doing. You're working a lot with young people in your research at the moment. Did you want to talk a little bit just generally about some of the work that you're doing at Archers and with young people?
Yeah, sure. It does get confusing because I'm at Archer and Archers.
Yeah, sorry, we should probably clarify
yeah,
that.
Any anecdote I want to tell any person in my life, they're like, which one do you mean?
Can
you
enunciate? Who is Archer and why are they so queer?
So Archer Magazine, of course, and then the Australian Centre for Research Centre in Sex, Health and Society. The acronym,
and I love both
Archers.
Dearly.
Yes.
They just have confusingly similar names.
Yes.
So at Archers, there are two main things I'm doing. So my PhD there is looking at using writing with queer and gender diverse and trans young people, and so teaching them memoir and autobiographical writing strategies. And most of them have never been taught that sort of writing at school, so sort of arming them with it, I suppose, so that they can explore some of their own experiences and aspects of their identity. And the other thing I'm doing at Archers is I'm a research assistant working on, let's see if I can say it in one go, the National Survey of Secondary Students and Sexual Health, which is this massive survey that happens every 5 years. And it's interesting because I'm working in both those areas, so I have a lot of thoughts that kind of cross over the two. And I often think about now how writing could be used with young people as a kind of form of sex education as well, just because in sex ed spaces there's not a huge amount of space carved out for, well, we're specifically talking about bi plus people, and I think writing is one way where it can be really safe on the page for those who may not have people face to face that they can have conversations with. It might be somewhere to start delving into things, and
I think, yeah, definitely. And I think there's something that's so empowering about learning the craft of writing memoir and self-reflection. And you're right, like I no, definitely from my experience, I loved writing and went on to go into journalism. But in high school, yeah, I wasn't really aware of memoir or, you know, personal essay as a genre of writing. So it was often just like writing fiction and really like trying to shoehorn in experiences and stuff.
Is this fan fiction? What are you talking? Is this sex ed and fan? Sorry. I also wanted to shout out...
Sadly, no.
No. Look, since talking about younger lives and also this kind of talk may be distressing for some, you can always reach out to Switchboard or QLife in Australia on 1800 184 529 or Beyond Blue, which is available 24/7 on 1300 224 636. They both also have chat services for people who are nonverbal or struggle with phone conversations.
Awesome.
That's
yes.
So great.
Thanks, Ruby. That's really important to mention.
But also fan fiction.
Back to the fan fiction. I've never got into fan fiction, and I feel bad about that now.
I'm so here for the fan fiction conversation.
Roz, thank you. I suppose when you were talking about memoirs for young people, do you think that when it comes to discussing sexuality in young folks, particularly those who are not heterosexual or cisgendered, a lot of content that involves transgender, diverse, non-binary people and people who are not heterosexual, whether that's gay, lesbian, bisexual, pansexual, multigender attracted, are queer, it's categorized as an adult content from quite a young age. So there's no exposure to that. So young people don't really grow up getting to see that until they are able to be, until they're 15, at least in Australia, with our laws around that area. Or older, and know where they can find it, which I suppose might be easier now because when I was growing up, they didn't not have Netflix, which had an LGBTIQ section, and they've taken the Babadook out of that, which was sad. Look, he was the other B in LGBT. beautiful mistakes. But do you think that that sense of self-story and owning and understanding and seeing sexual content as well, or content that explores sexuality, is something that needs to be introduced younger than we're currently seeing it in Australia, where it's really an out-of-school experience?
Oh, absolutely. And I mean, be careful, you could start me on a long rant here about
on the radio?
No.
English texts and how trying to bring in queer texts is still seen as subversive. And yeah, I won't get started on that, but absolutely, it's still not happening the way it needs to. It's still something that I think queer kids are having to say to their teachers when they find teachers that they can tell. Why isn't there more representation? They're still having to have those conversations, which is really sad. And with what you were just saying before, I actually brought a quote from that report that I was working on at Arches. So we asked them, there's an open-ended question at the end of the survey where they get asked about their sex ed. And one of the quotes really spoke to me. One of the students said, I was still left with so many questions. I had to watch porn to understand exactly what sex was. And
oh dear.
Yeah. And that was a heterosexual identified student. And then you can imagine from a lot of the queer and I've got quotes as well from the bi participants who some of whom still found it relevant, but just that idea of it not being considered part and parcel of teaching sex ed. It's seen as this separate, very R-rated, something that your parents need to sign off on.
Yeah, and I think that's like affecting then how we engage with that later on in our relationships as well, which I think is really important to talk at. And we'll be back with Roz to talk about all of this after some important community messages. But here's Make Me Feel by Janelle Monáe.
Now ask yourself who's screwing you.
100 men telling me cover up my areolas while they blocking equal pay, sipping on their Coca-Colas. Fake news, fake boobs, fake food, what's real? Still in the mattress, eating on the blue pills. The devil met with Russia and they just made a deal. We was marching through the street, they were blocking every pill. I'm tired of hotels trying to tell me how to feel. For real.
Hello, that was Screwed by Janelle Monáe, Not Make Me Feel, like I said before the break. And you're listening to Triple Bypass.
Make me feel screwed.
Make me feel screwed. Make me feel screwed. Yes,
I was please, just Janelle Monáe.
And you're on Sex by the By, which is the monthly Triple Bypass sexual health and well-being show.
Every 3 weeks now. We've scheduled it up a bit.
Yes, we have. It's every 3 weeks, not every four weeks. Yay. So
yes.
Please keep up to date. Follow our Instagram for Amelia's amazing content and keep up to date on their
and
shows.
Find the podcast on Spotify, iTunes, or where all good podcasts are found.
Yeah.
And also rate and review us, please.
Yeah,
tell your friends.
I keep telling my wife random facts about dental dams after that episode.
Oh, my God, so good.
Like, today I was like, did you know you can use cling wrap as a dental dam? And she's just like, where are these coming from?
Yeah, it was just such an... And also, like...
Triple bypass. On Joy 94.9.
Exactly. And, like, now I exclusively only refer to them as, like, they're licky squares and I refuse to call them any different.
Yeah.
I no longer say dental dam.
It's the cutest thing.
Licky square.
It's the same number of syllables. It's totally fine.
Yeah, it's just a lot more marketable.
Is it though? Isn't that also a postage stamp?
I think so. I think there's good branding in that.
Better than dental.
Look, and I think there are more dental dams getting used than postage stamps these days. So fair point.
Exactly. And we are joined by Roz Bellamy, writer, researcher, and we're talking about the queer sex and relationships education that we wish we got. And there's a lot to reflect on there. I guess maybe, you know, talking about the current state of sex education in Australia, obviously in Victoria, it is mandated by curriculum to teach some sex ed in schools.
Public schools.
So I think, which is great, but I guess that is really dependent on, there's a lot of variables around that, I suppose. And so, you know, we're not going to go into the specifics of, you know, what's being taught in each school because, you know, we don't actually privy to that information. Though, Roz, you probably have a lot more information about that. We're talking about the national survey before of young people and there was some reflections there about the sex ed that young people are receiving.
Mm-hmm. And where they feel the need to go to get more of it, which tends to be from sources which are not wholly accurate.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like so pornography.
Porn. Yeah. Then there's some variables in what's presented in
ethical
pornography.
Porn is all well and good. However, it is not realistic. Especially not realistic when you're a child.
Yeah, and I think, like, you know, the porn conversation is something that definitely needs to be brought into the sex education, and we could probably go for, like, 20,000 hours.
Someone think, you can't talk to children about porn. They don't know what that is.
Yeah.
They are young and innocent.
And just some of the nuances around consent, where the sex ed curriculum it hasn't caught up with what current sexual practices might be amongst young people.
Yes.
And so then they're finding what they're learning, you know, it might be vaguely relevant, but they're not having those important conversations about navigating consent.
Yeah, and that's right. Like, what things look like on the ground is not necessarily, you know, we know that young people, you know, really are the experts in their own sex lives or and the kind of sex that they're having. And I guess kind of just, I suppose just for a second to indulge that idea of, you know, what we wish that we might have known, I just sort of wondered, Roz, for you, what some of the reflections on this topic were for yourself. Like, what would have been some of the key, I guess, sex and relationships education knowledge that you really would have benefited from when you were a young person?
I mean, I don't even know where to begin with that because I went to a religious private school.
Yeah.
So
abstinence?
Look, I feel like I've blocked a lot of it out, but I guess a lot of it was on preventing pregnancy and STIs, maybe. I don't know. I assume there was some of that. Definitely nothing on like love and pleasure and playfulness or any of those sorts of things. Nothing on consent. So yeah, those to begin with, like, the presence of pleasure would have been great, illuminating. I think at the time particularly, and definitely still today, there's this kind of cultivation of fear and this belief that if everyone's terrified, you're going to have a higher perception of risk, like a very kind of public health mentality about it, which can be helpful, but also it just can also prevent a lot of like natural, intuitive, pleasurable things from happening.
I think there's fear, but there's also shame. There's big sense of it's bad, so if you're doing it, you're bad. Mm. And I think that, I remember, like, I went to a school that was also religious and private, but was still, like, I remember the teachers particularly, like, one man talking about when him and his wife were trying to conceive, what they were looking for. But again, a lot of memories about ovulation cycles and sex being around male a penis ejaculating inside a vagina, and very focused on that being how to prevent the things that can be bad from sex. And we had discussions on consent. We had one day, people came in from, some outside workshops, but they separated the genders. And I always thought that that was a quite bizarre thing because, well, first, it was my first time where I actually had adults putting two girls together and say, well, if you're both seeing each other, how do you talk about this? Me being like, wait, are you saying that one of them's a boy or that they're just, wait, they're just seeing each other as girls? Sorry, I need a moment. But also just that already separating it to saying there is sex for girls and there is sex for boys and they're different issues with different concerns. Mm. And that already kind of cementing that there were different responsibilities around sex. And I think that was a really big thing I took out of it, which was it was definitely, there was much more to risk as someone who identified as a girl growing up or who socialized as a woman growing up. There was a lot more at risk there with babies particularly. And I think that there wasn't a whole lot of discussion on how to talk about it with someone of a different gender to you. And there was no mention at all of how sex worked, how anal sex worked, for no matter what gender you were, how that was supposed to work. I mean, we weren't the same as, like, you know, in the United States, there are a number of states that only teach abstinence sex ed. So you've got teachers giving lengthy demonstrations of how to put on a sock and trying to use that as a way to teach kids about condoms because they literally are not allowed to talk to kids about condoms. We're not at that stage. We got to bring in cucumbers, so it was a bit different. But that same sense of it's gender separate and we're not going to actually consider any intermingling because already at this age, having different genders together talking about sex will lead to sex, which, again, when we use that logic and you're bisexual, it means you don't get to really have friends or to talk to anyone without it being sex-driven.
Mm. Yeah, I think, I mean, both of what you've both said is reflective of what I experienced in my sex education, which was, very focused on pregnancy as something to be prevented, and then obviously the discussion around STIs, but it was also, penis and vagina sex was really centered as the as sex at the main sexual event, and all STI discussions were around that. And so I never felt like there was any discussion. I mean, look, there may have been. I'm 36. I don't really remember. But I really don't think there was around, you know, what that might look like in other types of relationship configurations or other types of sexual encounters. And I feel like reflectively, any sort of queer lens on that would have come into the HIV discussion. So,
we didn't touch HIV. Because that was a gay thing.
Yeah.
Well, I say that obviously saying that HIV affects people of all genders and all sexualities. But I think at a school that was religious, mentioning it was seen as discussing it in terms of homosexuality.
Yeah.
School.
It's messed us all up,
It messes everybody up. But they are getting better because people like Ross who are going out there and spreading the queer Bible, hopefully a little. And after we come up, we've got another song coming up, which is one of your choices, Nat.
It is one of my choices.
Before that, we'd love to hear from you around questions you might have been holding on to since sex ed, or maybe you just have some there's still things you're not sure about, because, again, Nat's episode on dental dams cleared up a lot of questions in my head. So if you've got any questions in that aspect, or if you want to let us know some areas that you would like more information on, you can get in touch. You can email us on air at joy.org.au or text 0427-JOY949. That's 0427-569949. Coming up, what have we got?
We've got Lucy Dacus with Troublemaker Doppelganger, which is one of my faves. I love Lucy.
All right. Well, that's going to come up after a quick community announcement. Stay tuned. This is Triple Bypass on Joy 94.9.
disease. It's roaming the streets and bites when it bleeds. It makes us want to live forever. Or die and live for me. I want to live in a world where I can keep my doors wide open. But who knows what get in and what get out.
Lucy Dacus with Troublemaker Doppelganger, one of my absolute faves. You are listening to Triple Bypass, Sex by the By. I'm Nash.
I'm Ruby.
And we're joined by Roz Bellamy.
Hey.
Hey, Roz. And we're talking all things queer, sex ed and relationships, kind of a reflective look at the queer sex ed we wish we'd had. But I guess kind of looking at instead of what we didn't get, sort of thinking a bit about the concept of what does it mean to queer sex ed up, and instead of seeing it as a separate portion of sexuality education or, you know, a separate contingent of students that need to be catered for, what it might actually mean in practice to really put a queer lens on our sex education for everybody. Is there anything that kind of stands out for you as some of the key points that you think really needs to be developed into our mainstream sex ed?
Yeah, I mean, with the conversation we were even having in the break, talking about that idea of not necessarily assuming everyone is queer, but just presenting everything through that lens, like offering it all up to everyone. I know with the SASH report that I worked on, but also with other reports that have come out, how much fluidity there is sort of being reported on by young people, whether it's in the way they identify or their sexual practices and behaviours. So a lot of them are having this sex, they just don't necessarily, they're not getting the tools that they might need or want. So I think that for a lot of teachers, it's terrifying, particularly cishet teachers, to delve into this area. So I think, you know, capacity building for teachers is really important. But also making it a safe space in schools to be able to have these conversations. And unfortunately, that's like a broader societal thing that sort of needs to happen, whether, you know, to move beyond a lot of these kind of fearful ideas around sexuality and gender. But yeah, assuming that we could have this utopic sex education that we would all have liked, I think that idea of multigender attraction being presented as something that's just another valid, acceptable way of being in relationships or having sexual relations with people, because, you know, I just thinking back to my own school experience, any mention of bisexuality was just associated with all the tropes of bisexuality, and it just wasn't healthy or helpful, and it felt safer to pick, you know, either I'm going to be lesbian or straight, and so I think just having that understanding that relationships and relationships change, people change at different stages of your life. You might be interested in different things sexually.
Yep. And you might not want to have sex at all. It is AIDS Awareness Week. So
yeah.
It's important, I think, to recognise that for a lot of younger folk who are really up to date with a lot of the identities and terminology that's been used, the ace spectrum, whether that's aromantic, so not having interest in romantic attraction, but having sexual attraction, or being asexual, where you don't feel sexual attraction, which can be anywhere between being sex repulsed to enjoying sex, but not really seeing it as a necessity. I think it's important to let young people know, especially as I think there's a lot of focus on sex as the ultimate goal in relationships.
Yeah.
Mm. And so for kids knowing that actually for some people isn't always going to be the major factor for them, and romance will be for others as well. And talking about, you know, the importance of having a multi-gender attracted lens, a bi lens, a pan lens, a queer lens, do you think that there's a level of the words we use, even talking about what gay sex is versus what straight sex is, and do you think that language can be harmful as well?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, even the way that now, you know, with the younger people that I know, I sound so old saying that, back in my day.
Hey, like, kids, what's up?
Just hearing conversations from heterosexual young people whose sexual practices really are not all that different, and just knowing that, like, I know for me, now that people know that I work at a sex research center, the questions that I get, I'm just like, oh, cool, we really are all the same, you know? Like, people want to know the same things. People are interested in the same things. We just need to kind of actually offer that up. It's kind of a responsibility to offer that to young people so that they can make safe and informed choices.
Yeah, I think there is sometimes a perception that to queer up sex ed, it will mean a big change, or it means offering a lot of, you know, different content. But essentially, I think, you know, when we're talking about delivering what we need to deliver to young people in order for them to make informed choices, it's often around, you know, those safer sex practices. And I think, you know, if we do put that bi plus lens over it, then you know, potentially we'll miss less people because we're normalizing those practices by giving everyone the same kind of tools, and you can pick and take that. And I know, you know, if for young bi people, you know, potentially, you know, that might not be something on their radar, but I think there's something about making everyone a more informed adult by giving everyone the same sort of useful information to start with, that if they do their sexual, you know, we're saying sexuality is fluid, then you are armed with some more information later on, and it's presented to you as a normalized way.
And it's not such a hurdle to be confronted by, I think, as well. I suppose there's always that whole sense. For me, I've taken on from you know, our old host Jen Piper from the Representation Hour, who always would say, "Assume everyone is bisexual until proven otherwise," which is you know, assume everything, and they can cut their choices down as they so choose.
Yeah,
that's up to them. But that sense as well of pulling back a lot of the shame and stigma which can come from when all your exposure is through seeking out other avenues which can be less safe or can be less honest and can be less consensual and can be less ethical. And I think that's an area that is still working on, because there is a big fear. Australia, much like a lot of other countries, has had big scandals involving religious organizations and children. So there's always a lot of fear around discussing sex with children or discussing sex with young people in general, which refuses to acknowledge that young people start to think about sex quite young. You know, I think I remember hearing boys talk, like having a very serious discussion about which of them had started masturbating and which hadn't. Mm-hmm. Like a really, and they were 13. And there was a very, you know, serious discussion, like, oh, I haven't really had a lot of time. Hasn't really occurred to me yet. Someone's like, well, you should, you know, just have a go. Just see if you like it. I don't know. Like, I'll come around and just see if you have. Pencil that in. Yeah. And that whole, like, but they were having like this quite open and honest discussion around this. And I was just like, well, firstly, people who are being raised as girls don't have those discussions.
Yeah.
But secondly, I think that was never discussed in sex ed, that the ownership and acknowledgement that as people as young as 13 are going to start having hormone surges, which are going to cause this desire, and that by not giving them information and by pretending they're not old enough to deal with it, they're really protecting themselves as opposed to protecting the young people.
Yeah, and I, you know, I think too, we do want to acknowledge that there are nuances and variances in the sex education that is out there at the moment, and I think, you know, there are spaces where there
you know, things like that may be being discussed, but I guess it's sort of just dependent on who's delivering that information. And yeah,
making fantasy models of fallopian tubes isn't the same as talking about consent.
Roz, yeah. I just wanted to ask you though, because I know that you're working on a journal article now that's sort of looking at young queer people and how they engage with different sexual health resources. Is that what's some of the info that you're gleaning from that work?
Yeah. So I guess some of it really just isn't surprising. Like, dads come out pretty badly in terms of being people that young people feel comfortable talking to about sex. Female friends come out staggeringly high. and then youth workers generally tend to be sort of trusted and sought out more by queer young people than by heterosexual young people. Also, the internet is used and kind of seen as a more accurate source of information, which is an interesting one because yeah. we kind of also know it's not that accurate and good at times, but it's there to go to when your teacher isn't having those conversations.
And Teen Vogue has been stepping it up.
That's yeah, so Teen true.
Vogue's doing amazing stuff right now. And in the kind of information that young people are looking for, are they looking more around those STI prevention, that kind of stuff, or are they looking around, you know, like relationships, information and that?
Yeah, so conversations around STIs tend to be a lot higher in queer young people, and I think that's interesting, and contraception as well. So I think trying to be safe and arming themselves with that information.
Yep.
But yeah, still lots more to kind of dig into in this area, but it's a fascinating one. Especially since a lot of young people are kind of finally getting some representation in the relationships part of the curriculum,
yeah.
But not necessarily in the sex ed part. So
yeah,
time for some change.
Yeah, mm. It's interesting too, because it's kind of like, well, if we are putting, if we're queering up our sex ed, does that make, you know, in sort of enhance societal changes and greater acceptance of queer relationships, or do we need to do the other first to validate and, you know, ease the concerns about sexuality education in schools?
Or just do both at once, like yeah. a real bisexual.
Yeah. Just do everything at once.
That's what it means, right? I've been only doing this show for 3 years. Is that what bisexual is?
No, doing everything and everybody
all at
once.
Have a lemon bar in one hand.
Cake in the other.
Exactly. Yeah. I won't pick. I refuse.
And Roz, you're doing so much work in this space at the moment. Is there something that you have got coming up that you kind of wanted to just give us, you know, like a bit of a final plug on? Because I know you're working on a number of exciting things at the moment.
Yeah, thanks. So any 16 to 20-year-olds listening who are interested in getting involved in the writing workshops, so not only are they free to take part in, but also you get paid. So
yes.
So check it out. It's on Facebook. You can also email me or email the show, I guess, if you're...
Yeah, but we're on Facebook, so what can they search up?
So you can look for my page, so just Roz Bellamy Writer, and all the details are there. So the workshops are going to start next month, and I'd love to have more young people come along to those. And I guess otherwise, yeah, there's always writing projects, editing, so many things.
Do you have a website?
I do. It's rozbellamy.com, very easy.
Rozbellamy.
Oh, thanks, Ruby.
You're welcome.
Roz, thank you so much for coming in tonight. It was really awesome to chat to you and get your thoughts on this.
Thank you so much for having me.
And thank you, Ruby.
Oh, yeah. Anytime, Nat. I practically live here.
And we'll be back with another episode of Sex by the By on Triple Bypass in 3 weeks. But of course, we'll be back again next Tuesday just to bring you more of the Bi Plus agenda. And you can also find us on our social media. So search us for Triple Bypass on Joy, Twitter Triple Bypass, or Instagram Triple Bypass Joy. Thank you very much, and stick around for Soul Provider.
It's about to get soulful and retro with Matt Warne and Soul Provider. So stick around on the show that puts the B in LGBTIQA+. It's Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.